This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelus.
And today, well, you had kind of an interesting idea to talk about today. Why don't you start us off?
Well, with tabletop gaming, almost always in the groups that we've been with and the players we've had, almost always people play neutral to good characters. But every so often, they take that path, that dark path, and that's where things get wild. You know, we've had multiple different adventures over the years, and the evil groups almost exclusively generate more memories, more, you know, wow moments than any other game, just because of the level of holy shit, they did that. You know, it's just, you know, the most horrible things that happen in the games are almost always done by evil players.
Yeah.
Evil players allow the characters, or the evil characters allow the players to go places they normally wouldn't. And boy, do they ever go those places.
Yeah. I'm actually a little saddened that our cousin Jay couldn't join us on this show today because he ran a one-shot adventure, which was supposed to lead into a campaign. But yeah, after that one adventure, he was like, nope, I'm done. You guys have just...
You
no,
broke
thank
the
you.
DM.
We broke the game master. Yep, playing second edition D&D using the skills and powers book. And
yeah,
it was bad, really, really bad.
I mean, I've played. Thinking about it, I've played a couple evil characters. You know, one of them was only mildly evil. You know, it was from the Call of Cthulhu adventure. He had gone insane long time past, but he had acquired this dagger that allowed him to suck the life energy out of whoever he used it on, and it stored that energy in the dagger he could use to power his spells. And so he started himself a farm where he had hundreds of cattle. And every day he'd go out and take just a little bit from each cow to power up his dagger. What he did with all of that energy, nobody knows, because he's just kind of been left to fester. No, we haven't continued with that story because he's pretty much gone way evil.
Yeah.
But
I recall that. And I recall the, what is he doing with that comment from our aunt?
Nothing.
But she didn't really want to know, because she had an animated undead hand under glass trying to escape. It was all that was left of her ex-husband's character. He would just sit there and go scritch, scritch, scritch constantly on the glass.
But in one D&D adventure, we were in amongst a group of good players. Mm-hmm. And me and I think... it might have been Jason. Our characters were evil, but we were wearing amulets that shielded our alignment, made us appear to be good. And so we hung out with this good group. Mm-hmm. And through the adventures, we were slowly converting the characters. Their alignments were changing. We'd gotten almost every player in that group neutral by the time we finished, and, you know, we didn't continue the story, but the only one who was still good was the paladin.
And
he was holding on to his paladinhood by just the thinnest of margins. But it was nothing more than whispering in their ears and, you know, floating ideas to the group, you know, to see which would, you know. And yes, it was more convenient to do it our way. And the ramifications didn't settle in until after they had gone with the idea. And they kept telling themselves, we will work on improving our alignments. We will get back to good eventually. But they never did, because they just kept sliding with our help.
A little slippery slope. And you just put a little soap on it to start them off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun, just because we had this plan from the beginning. We were going to fit in, and the DM allowed it. The DM helped us along to get in, because he wanted to see how much influence we could exert upon the rest of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much influence you can have with players. And some of the players weren't novices. They'd been playing for 10 plus years. And if you know the right things to say, you can get them to do all kinds of things. Yeah. Hell, in one case, flat out murder. They explained it all away. They were able to, you know, explain it in their own minds that this was good. This was something that had to happen. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting back going, So yeah, being evil, you know, adding evil as a party dynamic is a good way to change things up. If your game is getting stale and you do a few, you know, do a new adventure, try going evil just to foster that, you know, love for the game again, because it'll definitely get your players interested.
Yeah.
They may be horrified and they may never want to do it again, because it does make you feel dirty, but it will definitely change things up for you. So what kind of evil characters have you played?
Well, there was that blood elf I made, but it was one campaign. It's the one where we broke Jay.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to try an all evil group just to see how it would go. So he invited his mom and her boyfriend, myself, and I think one other person, maybe two. We all made these, you know, customed out characters with the, I don't know if you've seen the Skills and Powers books for second edition, but
it's been a long time.
Yeah, you can really min-max. And with his aid, we were able to make these tweaked out, min-max, evil as you like character. And we got hired to be troubleshooters in a political campaign. One guy was going against the incumbent mayor of this one particular town. It was a fairly large town. And he wanted to disgrace and ruin the incumbent mayor so that he would win. And that was all well and good. So we got paid a decent amount to go out and ruin this guy. And we're like, I'm sure Jay was thinking we would do something like, you know, drop a dead corpse in his bed or something to try and, you know, make him think that he had killed a hooker or something, you know, have him caught doing all kinds of illegal stuff, whatever, something like that. I'm sure he was thinking we would do something like that. He wasn't expecting us to kidnap the mayor. I believe we killed his whole family horribly in front of him, tortured him to the point where he broke his mind and drove him insane, then let him loose into the middle of a campaign, you know, one of those big gatherings out in the town square of the guy who hired us, naked. So, you know, you've got a stark, raving, loon, incumbent mayor running around the town square, freaking out and, oh, I forgot, covered in blood of his family.
Well.
And so, yeah, we did what we were supposed to do. And Jay was at, because this went on over a whole evening, us describing all the stuff we were doing and all the other little things we were doing. It was kind of involved. And he was like, you know what, we're done. I was like, oh, because we were going to take out the guy who was running as well. Why? Oh, we don't like him. You know he's a vampire, right? Well, yeah, the idea that he only comes out for, you know, night at night. Yeah, we kind of got that idea. And I believe his mom, our aunt, was like, yeah, I was going to use his blood to make myself a vampire. Okay. It was fun. And, you know, I don't even remember all the little details. All I just remember is how freeing playing that character was. Because it's kind of a dichotomy, because it's freeing, but also you're like, I'm evil, and pretty much my character was nuts. I mean, he had no limits. But at the same time, when you have no limits, it's limiting. Because if you do something that is reasonable, people then think, oh, you're holding yourself back. You're not going and doing the character you described. Well, no, I am. I'm sorry that I usually play lawful good paladins. That's not my fault. But this elf assassin, I believe I was, wasn't always going to just jump out there and slice people's throats and whatnot. He was calculated and careful. Doesn't mean he, once he was in the safety of their secret abode, he wasn't going to do horrible, horrible things to people, because he did, and described them in detail. But getting to that point meant being careful, meant executing plans, and not just running around slicing people's throats, because that's how you get caught. And when you get caught, you hang from a gallows, and that kind of would have crimped my mood. Yeah. But yeah, I'm the one who killed his baby.
Well,
they didn't expect me to do that. I think I fed it to rabid dog. That sounds like me. Yeah, that sounds about right. I can't remember for sure.
One of my other evil characters. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please, feel free.
I don't know if you remember Rose Thorn.
Oh, I do.
The half-elf assassin.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very high charisma, so she was able to seduce almost anybody she chose. But her favorite method of dispatching people was to be feeding them grapes. And then one time, instead of putting a grape in their mouth, she'd put this little tiny thing that looks like I can't remember the name of them now, caltrop. It's just this little ball of spikes.
Mm-hmm.
She just pop it in their mouth like a grape. And they were magically enchanted so that as soon as they hit flesh, they expanded to, you know, basically 20 times their size. And they're, you know, basically the size of a grape.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pop out. I mean, spikes everywhere. I mean, it's in your neck when it hits, or in the back of your throat when it goes boom and explodes.
That's going to impede life.
Yes. But, you know, she would walk by a gate guard and slip one of those down the back of their armor. Bang! Dead. Especially if they were wearing plate armor and you were able to slip it into one of the little cracks in the armor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the little gaps under the arm or wherever. She could hinder people. There was one scene where she was planning her escape. And so she went through at night where the majority of the barracks were full of sleeping guys. And so she made her way in. She got, you know, she went to bed with the captain of the guard so that everybody thought, oh, ha ha, he's getting lucky, ha ha. So she had a reason for being in the barracks.
Right.
And nobody would question her slipping out at night. Well, of course, you know, she fed one of those things to the captain of the guards and he's dead on his bed. When she slips out, and on her way out, she's dropping them in their boots. And so when she committed the murder she came to town to do, and the guards got called, everybody's throwing their boots on and throwing their armor on, and these things are going off, and nobody came to stop her, because the majority of the guards
are lame.
Hindered.
Yeah.
But she used a lot of poison, and she used a lot of, you know, traps like that. And she was a blast to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody knew what her signature was, but every once in a while she just wouldn't use that. And then she got the ability to change her looks.
Ugh.
And so she changed from the signature, you know, flaming red hair and all that, to something completely innocuous. And she went about her way. It was pretty awesome. He caused much mayhem, and every GM or DM absolutely hated having her around, because I got to be really good about getting her in and out of situations where they thought they had her cornered. That was so much fun.
Okay, but now, with that in mind, all right? Now, you've played evil characters in a mixed group. Now, granted, the other characters didn't know that your character was evil, but how do you think that would play in general? Obviously, you're not going to generally have good characters playing with evil characters unless there's some sort of subterfuge going on.
No, but
let's say there's
really
neutral characters and maybe a lawful evil character thrown in. What kind of dynamic is that? How is that going to work, and can it work in the long term?
Oh, it won't work in the long term. Something like that is only until the objective is attained kind of setup. Because the evil players are not going to want to hang around the good players unless there's something in it for them. And the good players are going to want to have absolutely nothing to do with the evil players because they disagree with their ethics. But we have had mixed groups where there were evil players and good players, but the only reason they were there is because individually they were the strongest players around, and together they gave the best chance of getting past X, you know, whatever the big horrible nasty was. They were the town or the kingdom's best chance of defeating the lich or whatever it happened to be. So they worked together for whatever reason they were given. You know, the evil people were paid or promised power. You know, the good were doing it because this was going to save the kingdom or whatever reasons happened to come up.
So like in a comic book sense, where you'd have some members of, say, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants working with the X-Men to go against some greater power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously not going to be a continued sort of situation.
Oh, hell no.
But like I was saying, what about neutral and evil? Where you don't have
neutral.
That problem with good. If you just take good completely out of it, and you got neutral, lawful neutral, chaotic neutral, and maybe one or two evil.
We've had groups like that. They didn't. It as a whole, the campaign just didn't go anywhere. But we have had groups where there were some neutral players, with the rest of the group being majority of them were evil.
Yeah, I would see as it would eventually slide into uncomfortableness way too quickly. Because neutral characters are fine, but almost always neutral characters really are good, but they want that, the player wants that neutral tag so that they have the freedom to not always be good.
Oh, you mean like the tiefling cleric?
Yeah.
She's neutral.
She is.
But her
chaotic
behavior,
neutral.
You know, hey, she's doing this because she's a cleric and her deity, you know, this is what her deity wants. So she's doing it for that reason. But then again, she's also a tiefling, so she kind of slides towards evil.
Yeah.
In how she progresses.
Meanwhile, I was, you know, coincidentally, playing a barbarian who's chaotic neutral and plays it as a half-crazy, don't-really-give-a-shit sort of character who has no sliding towards good sort of thing. More to the point is kind of edging towards chaotic evil with the, you know, smothering a almost dead guy with a sock. But it was the mercy thing to do at the time.
Uh-huh.
It was merciful.
Well, and as far as he's concerned, the healer of the group
approved.
Decided the person was not salvageable, so they put him out of his misery.
Mm-hmm. She just didn't want to spend, you know, cast the spell that would have saved him. But hey, you know, I don't know that.
Well, at the time, she didn't have the spell to save him because she wasn't shown the whole list of spells she had available. She just had her I can't remember the term they used for it, but it's the sphere of influence of her mm-hmm. deity spells. Yeah. That's all she had to choose from, and cure spells were not in that.
Right, because that's available to all clerics.
Yes.
So, but hey, you know, whatever. The point is, though, is I would think evil characters, much like good characters, if you have a paladin around, it tends to make the whole group more lean towards good, if only because the paladin must play as a lawful good character. And so other players are not going to try and... They're going to be a drug back away from doing more immoral acts simply because he can't, therefore the whole group can't. It makes it harder for them to, unless they go off on their own and do it individually.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's where my rogues come in. When I'm playing a rogue and you've got your paladin, I usually exit stage left to do my roguish things out of sight of you.
Hey, I don't know about it and I don't see it.
Yep. And I'm not going to tell you.
If I see it or hear about it or find out about it, that's different, but you're careful. So.
You have to be. It's a paladin.
Yes.
Last thing you want to do is piss them off. Not unless you're ready to kill them. And if you're not ready to kill them, you don't want to piss them off.
But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you've got a blackguard, essentially an anti-paladin, in a group, first of all, just having a blackguard there pretty much makes it an evil group all on its own. I don't care if every other character is neutral or whatever. The blackguard's going to kind of pull everybody towards evil because that's what they are. Even if they don't do a single evil act, just their presence alone is too much. I'm sorry?
That's the effect of the characters. That's why paladins enhance a party, making them look like, you know, the pillar of, you know, purity and, you know, awesomeness and all this. Whereas the blackguard is like, ooh, don't screw with them. They're dangerous.
Oh, actually, I'll go even further. Let's say you've got a group, there's a blackguard in the group, and everybody else is neutral. They get caught by the city guard, and it's believed that they, you know, the blackguard did something or whatever. Everybody's getting hung just by being associated. If you're associating with that, there's the inference is going to be you're evil too. You were involved. So simply out of self-preservation, they will do the immoral act. They will fight out of, if only, it's just trying to stay alive. They will follow the lead of the blackguard or the evil wizard or the evil priest or whatever it is that is that linchpin character. And that's what I'm saying, basically, is that good and evil, especially hard good and hard evil like a paladin or a blackguard, but even lesser so, you know, just evil and good in general, our linchpin character. They're
if
going
you
to draw
let them. Like I said before, you can play an evil character who's not overtly evil, just uses the influence they have to affect the way the players play or the way the game goes. They're not doing anything horrific. They're not breaking any laws. They're just affecting the way the game plays with their evil presence,
right,
and the way they do things. You don't have to be, you know, this shining light of virtue or this blackness of, you know, black malevolence. There is the shades of gray in between that you can hide in.
Right. So yeah, I think that's kind of part of the fun of playing an evil character, is just seeing what you can get away with.
Oh, yeah.
Without ever breaking a single law and frustrating the hell out of your game master at the same time. Because they so want to drop the hammer on you. But how? What did I do? Now, a good game master would then come back with, hey, you know, I'll just install that there's, you know, detect alignment spells with this group. I'll throw out a group that has a way of discovering that you're truly evil. But I would consider that to be bad game mastering, to be honest. If you're focusing what your NPCs can do simply because you don't like the choices of alignment of one of your characters, mm-hmm. and you're looking to expose them and make their life hard and whatever, right? You probably shouldn't be running that group. I mean, there have been times where I didn't like that we had a druid in the group. A true neutral druid, because my mom made that druid, my mom, and she knew what true neutral meant. And there was times where she simply couldn't make a decision. And it was frustrating as hell, because she was true neutral. She wouldn't do anything evil or good, lawful or chaotic. She was just there. And that's really difficult to deal with as a game master sometimes. But well, that's the character she chose to play.
Yeah. But have you ever read the webcomic Order of the Stick?
Yes.
You know the little halfling thief?
Yes.
The way they handle his being evil is freaking awesome.
Is he evil?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Huh.
He is evil.
I always saw him as more chaotic neutral, but, you know,
it's been years
since I read it.
Trust me, you haven't seen him get his stab on.
Oh, no, I've seen him get stabby, but, again, that could have been a lot of times more seen as chaotic neutral.
But there was a, I'm not sure if it was a paladin, I think it was a paladin. It might have been a cleric. But every time, they were in this stronghold of paladins, because they were going to the head of the paladinhood to get his help against this lich they were trying to kill. And every time this one paladin, who was certain this little bastard was evil, did his detect alignment on him, he pulled out this sheet of lead and held it up to block himself. Every single time he'd do a quick on the sly turn to try and detect evil on him, he had that piece of lead up. And he says, and the argument they had is, if you weren't evil, you wouldn't need that sheet of lead to protect you. He said, well, I'm not evil, but I also enjoy my privacy. It's none of your business. And that's why he has the sheet of lead.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he has since then gone from true evil to more neutral, because he actually took levels in Ranger.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, because he has a dragon that was shape-shifted into, it was like permanently polymorphed into this little tiny innocuous pet. And so he keeps that around too.
Okay.
Or it was a dinosaur. It was a dinosaur. It was a big effing T-Rex. And he tamed the T-Rex with his ranger ability. And so that was his big, you know, war machine. He's going to kick some ass with this T-Rex. And then it got transformed into a little lizard. He keeps his little T-Rex lizard with him.
Okay.
But again, that was actually a really good example of, you know, how good characters and evil characters can work together for the common good. Because the head of the group, the fighter, he is he's lawful good. And of course, you know, the little thief is not.
Well, certainly not lawful anyway.
Oh, not in the slightest. He gets mad when the other players kill all the enemies, and he didn't get a chance to do any stabbing.
Nice. So, we should be, you know, finishing up, but I wanted to ask you, when it comes to evil characters or evil groups, do you think this is something that players that are just starting out should try? I mean, you're going to find new role players that like to do all these outlandish characters and whatnot, and that's great. But maybe you ought to tone it down, Sparky, and, you know, just try something a little simpler. Not get yourself involved in evil right from the get-go.
I completely agree. You should play, at worst, play neutral. Just get the feel for the game, get a handle on, you know, how a good adventure goes, how a decent, you know, adventure can go. Then maybe several adventures down the road, start up an all-evil party. Depending upon what kind of a dungeon master you have, that could become a full-on campaign. Or it could melt down and become a one-shot. It really depends upon the DM himself. Some DMs can do it. they have no qualms about it. It's great. Others, they don't have the capacity to let that sort of horror continue.
Yeah.
Jay certainly couldn't.
Here's the thing, though, is I don't think evil is really set up for an extended campaign, and it's simply because of this. You got good characters, or even some good characters in a group. They're focused around community. They're focused around supporting each other. Whereas evil characters, regardless of whether they're lawful, neutral, or chaotic evil, doesn't matter. They're focused on self-preservation and number one.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes right down to it, they may work with other characters, whether they're lawful, whether they're good or neutral or whatever. It doesn't matter. They may work with them.
But they'll ultimately, stab them in the back as soon as they can.
Exactly. Well, not as soon as they can.
Whenever
they can work with somebody
them.
For years until it's no longer convenient.
Right.
If they've been doing something which is effectively being like a serial killer, if it comes down to them getting caught or pinning it on another person in the group, well, there's going to be a bloody knife found in somebody's bed. They will throw anybody else under the bus as needed, because evil characters are all about number one.
Right.
And that's why, eventually, I don't think our group, when we did that evil group years ago, I don't think we would have made it past the second adventure. Because, like I was saying, I believe my aunt was focused on becoming a vampire herself. My character was effectively crazy and would have been a hindrance to the group at some point because of he just loved causing pain and death way too much. It was just over the top in what I would. And it was just, you know, it would have been too much. The more lawful evil types in the group would have put me down, put our aunt down, and pinned it on one another so that they could, you know, try and get away scot-free. It was self-preservation for them. I would have eventually turned on them, if only because I didn't have anybody else to carve on. It's sick, but it's just the way evil groups go.
Generally.
Not every person is going to have the stomach for that.
Well, and that's why I say it's not a good idea to start out as evil players.
Yeah. I wouldn't even, you know, intermediate role players should just kind of, I mean, it may seem like fun, let's try this, whatever. Yeah, no. Don't.
Well, and most veteran players, they don't play evil in the long term.
Right.
Now, again, depending upon how they play, you can be evil and do all kinds of charitable things. You can rescue people. You can do all kinds of good deeds. But as long as you're doing it for greedy reasons or an ulterior motive, you're working towards an ulterior goal that's not, you know, on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
You can be good on the outside and evil to the core.
Yeah, sure. You may rescue those kids that are drowning in the river and deliver them home to their families, because that will then further ingratiate you to one of the families that's there that has a little bit more influence, and maybe you can get into their household and work your way in, and, you know,
or no, they just owe you a favor,
and little by little those things build up.
Yeah, for your long-term goal.
Exactly. Anyhow, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about on that topic?
No, I just remember the, I don't remember who the DM was. It was one of the DMs from Mythical Beasts.
Mm.
Way
back when.
He was playing the big baddie, which was this ancient red dragon. And mm-hmm. when the ancient red dragon tells your party that they're fucked up, that he doesn't want to have anything to do with them because... Wow. I thought I was bad. You guys, you're a threat. Go away or I will kill you.
Considering red dragons are chaotic evil.
Oh, yeah. He was horrified by our actions. But hey, you shouldn't have hired us and told us what you needed done. We got it done. You didn't specify on how. Eh. So the kingdom is, you know, bereft of leadership. Eh. It was the quicker path. Yes, I know you wanted him corrupted and brought over to, you know, become a pawn in your game. That took too long. We got things to do.
Yeah, we don't play chess. We play checkers. And when you crown somebody, we just did it with a mace.
I just remember one of the players running around with the king's head on their on their shoulder, right next to their head, going around giving orders to all the staff that had survived and expecting them to do it because he is now the killer king, because he killed him and he also has the king on his shoulder now. So he is the king as well. That was his logic.
Okay. Right.
Yes. That was another DM who decided that evil groups are not for him.
Yeah. It's a ticklish game to play. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, if the group we're currently working with decides that they want to try it, I'm more than willing to run an adventure or two. I don't want to do a long-term campaign, but I'd be willing to throw them on a few adventures that way.
Yeah, I don't think my sweetie would go for long-term on that at all, but...
No, no.
An evil campaign.
Your wife would not be able to handle playing evil.
Oh, I think she could. I think she'd just get bored, you know, because that's not what she likes to play. I could, and I would certainly love to show off just how, you know, like I said, no limits. But, that could easily break somebody from ever wanting to roleplay again.
Yes, it could. That's why I don't recommend it for introductory players.
Yeah, you gross out.
You have to get a good, you know, you have to learn how good the game can be before you delve into how screwed up it can be.
Yeah, and I know it can be kind of enticing to up-and-coming game masters to go, oh, that would be so much fun to just try that. Yeah, it could be.
Oh, it definitely could be.
And it could also wreck not only your gaming group, could wreck relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You try and push this onto a group where you've got at least one player who absolutely just doesn't want to do that and feels violated by the things other players are doing, they may never roleplay again.
Remember how much trouble Dad got into when he played Toad?
Yes.
And how upset Mom got with him
damn
when
near
he would
killed
play
him.
Toad.
Mm-hmm. He didn't understand why she was so offended.
Well,
yeah,
he was playing a chaotic, neutral character.
And I was running that game, and I didn't expect him to do that, but why are you letting him do that? Well, it's his character, and he did shut her up. You know, I'm a game master. I'm not here to judge him. I'm here to make sure that you follow the rules and provide a story. What you guys do is what you guys do. Role play it.
Yep.
And she just couldn't take it upon herself to beat him senseless, but she wanted to do it in real life.
Oh, yes. If you're
going to
play evil, if you're going to play an evil group, make sure everybody is on the same page, because there are people who, they like the idea of playing evil because it sounds kind of cool, but they don't have any clue as to what could happen.
Right.
And once it does happen, it fucks them up because that's not who they are. That really throws their ethics under the bus, and they just can't take that.
Right. And actually, that's in talking about that, in that group that I was in years ago, that one adventure, when we asked the game master, who it was his idea to do it. We were like, well, what do you mean evil? He was like, oh, no, you go for it. You do whichever you want to do. Use this book, do whatever you want to do to make your character, and just you go balls out. Okay.
But he asked for that.
He did.
He cannot complain because he asked for it. And I don't remember him ever complaining that you guys went too far.
No.
He just wasn't expecting you to go that far.
Yeah.
He thought he knew his group.
Well, he thought we would do, you know, evil subterfuge sort of things. Nah, we're more direct action types. We don't play politics. We ruin politicians. It's a little bit of a difference.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Anyway, that's probably it. If we have any sort of audience left, I'd like to thank everybody downloading the show. We have, you know, pretty steady content, you know, steady group of listeners every week, and I'm pretty happy with that.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
And for those of you who dropped off, the 400 to 500 of you that dropped off when Rylea just kind of stopped coming around, you know, sorry. She's selling houses. She's busy. Lady's got to work. I'm sure at some point she'd love to come back.
Oh, no, she wants to come back. She just doesn't have the time right now.
Yeah, Sundays are bad.
Well, that and the fact that we haven't even started in the busy season yet.
Right.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
And she's already up to her neck in business.
Yeah, but she's selling houses, so good for her. I couldn't do it. It requires being nice to people.
I'm nice to people because I like people. Humanity as a whole? Not so much, but people are cool.
I can be nice to people 8 hours a day, and even then it's a little hard. But I can manage to get through my shift without breaking co-work, mostly.
Mostly.
Most. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.